Hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction.
Deep into the sex zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh God. Okay.
Are we all good, ladies?
Wow.
Queer AF.
Shout out to Joanna Burns for making that dope intro you just heard, and shout out to Amanda Duncan for making us sound so pretty.
Hello, and welcome to Queer as Fiction. I'm your zaddy Amanda, and to my left,
I'm your co-zaddy Ashley Perez.
And I'm your step zaddy.
I'm so bad at lying. I like
you can't even. I'm on like,
sorry, guys. We wanted to trick you.
We hope you guys like that. There's only so many ways we can introduce ourselves.
I feel guilty for lying to you all.
You barely lied to them. You're like, and I'm Ashley.
A week later, we're gonna get a text from Kirsten that's like, I still feel really bad about this.
Anyways,
hey. Hi,
it's us again.
Back on my bed.
We're back in
back
bed,
in bed.
Back in action.
Back on track.
Back in the habit.
Oh yes, Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great tagline. I fucking love Sister Act.
Sister Act is a great film.
So this
and Sister Act 2.
This week is about Sister Act. It's just Whoopi Goldberg themed fanfic.
Just nun fanfic.
Nun ya business. All right. Famous nun movies.
I will be doing Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze from Ghosts.
I'll be doing Whoopi Goldberg and Kathy Najimy from Sister Act.
I don't have a nun pairing off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
No, it's just Whoopi pairing.
Yeah, mine was from Ghost.
These aren't real if you guys
I was like, is Patrick Swayze a priest in that?
I
can't remember.
I feel like, though, they're going to have us do it soon.
You should know your Whoopi Goldberg.
I know.
Whoopi Week. I'm doing Whoopi as the mom in Little Rascals.
Oh my God.
Whoopi is an EGOTer, okay?
Yeah,
she has an EGOT.
Incredible.
She was in an episode of 30 Rock.
I did not think we were going to be talking about Whoopi Goldberg.
To start.
You know, you never know when you're going to Whoopi.
Merge.
Should we do our bi-weekly shout out?
Yeah, I think we've had enough Whoopi for now. Okay.
So our bi-weekly shout out for this week goes to two people, McKay and Shelby, who wrote in separately, but they both are kind of in similar situations where they're, you know, not out or they don't feel really safe or good being out in their familial and like social situations they're in right now. And they both wrote in and basically expressed how Girlship TV and this podcast has been like we kind of are providing a space where they like feel like they have queer friends, even if they maybe don't have them yet. So shout out to Shelby and McKay.
Yeah, and we just want to say hi to everyone who I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this podcast and aren't out or are maybe just newly out. And that's a phase we've all been in before. So just stay safe and it's okay. A lot of people asked us, Amanda and I did a live stream and a lot of people asked us about coming out. And you don't have to come out until you feel safe. You can come out to yourself and then, you know, later when you're in a safe situation, then you can start coming
out. And there's like no right way or right time. It's just like when you feel like you can and you can be comfortable doing so. And that's why some people, you know, have chosen families because their family and friends unfortunately aren't always supportive. So you kind of, you know, have to do it when it's right for you.
And I wanted to shout out my friend Sarah, who recently wrote me. We were roommates in college, and then she's just recently come out, and she said she got recommended this podcast and didn't know it was me. So,
oh, cute.
Surprise. Hey,
hi,
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Hope you're still listening. Hope you took your friend's recommendation and you're actually listening. Okay, so Amanda, it is that time. I have something to talk to you about.
You can talk about underwear again?
Yes, I'm going to talk about underwear again because I'm obsessed with Tomboy X. I got the Racerback bra and underwear, and Ashley got the cat print matching set. And honestly, I have never felt better in underwear. I want to live, sleep, breathe, and exist all of my days in it. It's great. I think you should get some.
I think I should too.
Yeah. I mean, Ashley and I keep talking about it off air, so if you can't tell we're obsessed with it, now you know. But if our Queer as Fiction listeners want to try Tomboy X, go to tomboyx.com/queerfiction and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And Queer as Fiction listeners get an extra 15% off with the code queerfiction. Again, queerfiction for an extra 15% off. So, you know, as I say every time, lose whatever underwear you're wearing right now and go get some.
Yeah.
This brings us to our next segment about... was it called Queer Milestones?
Yeah, we were... So we didn't get a ton of fan fiction this week about us. And we're narcissists, so we decided, instead of always doing fan fiction about ourselves, just because it's kind of like hard to keep up with, we're going to introduce a segment where we talk about different queer milestones, and you guys can tweet at us ones you want to hear. And this week we are going to talk about Amanda's coming out.
Well, we're not going to talk about it. Yeah, about it.
She's going to tell us.
You guys are just going to guess how
we're
I came
do
out.
Later, after Amanda tells the story, Kirsten and I are going to do a drunk history reenactment style of it.
Perfect.
Oh, cool.
We should do that.
It all began.
Oh, my God.
It was the winter of 1775.
It was the best of times.
It was the worst of times. Well, I was a theater kid, so I was around a lot of queer people off the bat. So I was in a theater company. It was called Near West Theater. It's still around in Cleveland. And there were a lot of queer people in it because theater people are just queer. And I was in a production. Well, no, I was running crew for a production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Using those forearms.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I was props.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah. So me and my one friend who didn't get into the production ran crew for it because we were like, we want to be involved.
We're doing it because we love the theater.
We did love the theater.
The theater.
And there was this one time when we had a lady Pontius Pilate, if anybody's familiar with Jesus Christ Superstar, usually played by a man, but we had a woman doing it. And she was singing one of her songs where she first comes on stage, and she's like a belter. So as soon as we were like backstage running props, and we all heard it, and we were all like, oh my God, that voice. And there was like, I don't know, it wasn't until a few months later when like, I mean, you guys know, sometimes I get obsessed with people. Is that a weird thing to admit?
No, I would
just rephrase and say sometimes I get crushes.
All right. Cut that out, Amanda.
No, leave it, Amanda.
You have to leave that.
Sometimes I get crushes. And my friends were like, a couple months later, my friends were like, no, you love her.
How old were you?
16.
You were like, I just really admire her.
I think she's like, I was like, she's so talented. Mm-hmm. She's just so talented. And they were like, no, you love her. And I was like, oh my God. Do I? It always starts with joking. So that's when I came out as bisexual. Sorry, Kirsten.
I mean, that's like something that I think a lot of people use transitionally, but also it's a part of your coming out process. So yeah. It doesn't.
Fun fact, all three of us came out as bisexual.
Only one stayed that way.
Yeah, I came out as bisexual and then this is going into different directions. I came out
like bisexuals.
Okay. I hate it.
And then it wasn't until college when I was fooling around with a guy when I was like, this is not great.
I'm not bisexual.
My favorite story ever. Like in the middle of fooling around with him, you went back to your friend's room, right?
Yeah, we were like making out and I was like, this is not great. I don't really like this. Is it because I don't like guys at all? And I was like, excuse me, hold on. I just need to run to the bathroom real quick.
I just need to go figure out my sexuality in the bathroom.
And then I was living in a house with a few other people, and I went to my friend's room who was, like, in bed with her boyfriend, but they weren't doing anything. And I was like, I don't know if I just don't like him or if I just don't like men.
That's actually relatable, though. I, like, for so long when I was trying to figure out if I was, like, I thought you couldn't be bi. So I was, like, always trying to gauge who I liked
more.
Yeah.
And so whenever I would hook up with someone I just didn't like, I'd be like, well, done with that. So that's relatable.
But that's what happened to you, right? After that, you were kind of like, oh, I really don't like this.
Yeah. I was like, if we were to go by percentages, I would say I'm 90-10.
Mm, same.
So it's like one of those things where it's like the same way straight girls have girl crushes. I sometimes, I could
have
see,
a
like,
guy
have
crush.
A guy crush.
Yeah.
but most of the time it's going to be women.
So was coming out hard for you? Like, did it, were there lots of people you had to come out to, or because you were in theater, was it like not as big of a deal to come out?
You do have to, well, you
That's a valid question. No, it is a valid question, but I just like pictured her like coming out into the stage and being like, I'm gay.
And then everyone is like, we know.
I mean, when I, it was like, it was one of those things where, and everybody has this moment. Well, if you have this moment in high school, it's nice going to college because then you're like, I can live my truth. It doesn't fucking matter. Because I had like a couple of weird moments in high school where I had a friend who was like, I was like convinced that she knew because she looked at me and was like, if I ever found out that one of my friends was bisexual, I would be so weirded out. And I was like,
wait, what? What a bitch.
I mean, I think she's pretty cool with it now because she's like, I had like my friend Roger who has always been out and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know why.
I think she said that directly to me. The misconception with some friends sometimes is that like, if you are interested in women, then you're going to be like predatory and interested in them.
And it's so annoying.
That was one thing that I was like, this sucks. I didn't want my friends to see me as like a person that they couldn't be themselves around or like change around or do like the things that we had always like done.
Yeah. That was definitely one of my fears because I was in a sorority and like all of my friends in college were women and we would always like, do you change together? You see each other naked? Like if you're, you know, just like all of these things are just normal things. And then you're like, oh my God, if I'm gay, they're going to think that I'm into them or I'm looking at them. But it was funny because my friends, sometimes your friends give you like a nice out and they're like, you don't like us, right? And we're like, no, gross, you're disgusting. Yeah. And then you just laugh it off. Yeah. But like, I definitely think most people have that fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. There are a lot of people, I think that maybe you've just never met lesbians who are like, are you going to be attracted to me? And I'm like, bitch, no.
Yeah. Don't flatter yourself. Yeah.
That was definitely a fear of mine though, with like people who I actually felt like I had something with that I was like, oh, they're going to know.
But then the people who you actually like never know.
Yeah.
That's the most annoying part.
So how did the, did you have to come out to your parents or anything like that? Or well, was that?
Okay. So that's another thing because I, like you do, I was in love with my best friend in college.
We're just like, isn't it so dumb how friends like are going to suspect you of being in love? And then you're like, so I was in love with my best friend.
But she didn't like, I was like, it was a couple of years and she didn't know though. So that's another one of the things where it's like, how did you not know?
You're like, this is a rainbow flag hanging above
I wrote,
bed.
I love you on your bathroom mirror. From the shower steam while you were in the shower.
How did you not know? So she started dating someone.
Guy or girl?
Guy. While we were living in the same room.
Oh, rough.
God.
If anybody's seen the hit series on BuzzFeed Fucked, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I was like heartbroken and like depressed and like was like, this is what heartbreak feels like. And I kept coming home because my college was like maybe about 4 hours from my actual home. Mm. So I kept coming home and my mom finally was like, why? What is wrong? Like I was just like crying on the kitchen floor.
Oh.
And she was like, what is wrong? And I'm like, I don't know how to tell you this, but like I like women and like told her everything. And she was like, oh, okay. Like she's totally chill with it.
I feel
it.
Like when your parents see you like at a low and like really like sad and scared, they just want you to be like happy. And they realize like, you know, that's the most important part. Not always, but sometimes.
I mean, we kind of covered this because I did a video with Intu where I talked to my mom about what was going through her mind when I came out. And she's like, thankfully, my mother is a very open person and very open-minded and just wants her children to be happy. Mm. So that... I am grateful that I never really had the struggle of having disapproving parents. I know that my father, I wasn't really sure how he'd react, so I ended up sending him an email. Mm-hmm. But I ended up sending him an email when I was like 26 because I was like, I'm about to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Not this one. Yeah. Another one. And I was like, I know I'm going to openly talk about my sexuality. And I was like, I want him to hear it from me before he hears it from the channel. So I sent him an email because he doesn't really think that well on his feet. Mm-hmm. Love you, Dad. But it just like kind of takes him a moment to process. Yeah. So I
texted my dad.
Yeah. I was like, I want to give him the time to process it so he doesn't have to be like sit on the phone with me. Uh-huh. And I'm like waiting for him to talk.
That's a good idea. I think that's a good way to.
It's also
everyone processes differently. It's interesting that you didn't tell them at the same time too. It's okay to tell people. You don't have to go on a coming out parade. I think that there's a lot of stress of, oh my God, if I come out, I have to come out to everyone all at once. Yeah. And like, yeah. I came out to my best friends like 2 years before I came out to my parents. Yeah, same.
I came out to my friends and my sister and then, mm-hmm. and then one parent and then the other later.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
All of my friends I came out to 4 years before my mom, and then my dad was, I was 19 when I came out to my mom, and I was 25 when I came out to my dad.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you do have to come out to everyone that you meet. Because I know that when I was in, and like, I feel like nobody really cares anymore. But when I was, when I moved into a new place in Chicago, I remember I had my roommates and we were walking to CVS. And I was like, guys, I have something to tell you. I don't know if you know this or not, but I am gay. And they were like, oh, okay. all of my coming outs have been so unmiraculous.
Yeah. Oh my God. I came out once to all my friends from BuzzFeed, and then Ella said, same afterward.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and all of us were like, wait, are you also coming out? Wait, what? And she goes, she was stuffing her face with pizza, and she said, yeah, same. And I was like, you piggybacked on my coming out. That was fucking you a crazy. Lot,
isn't it?
I know.
I think that's a really good point about like they're not you not needing to go on a coming out parade and doing it as you're comfortable with the people you're comfortable. And I honestly think it's such a relief even just to have one person in your life who knows who you are.
Even mm-hmm. to tell you yourself. It took me like, I don't know, like 20 years before I wrote I'm gay in my journal because I journal a lot. And that was like crazy for mm-hmm. me. And I remember changing like a poem from like he to she, like mm-hmm. the pronoun. And I literally thought that like that's how I was going to come out after I died. Someone was going to read my journal and know, because I just couldn't think about ever coming out.
Yeah.
It's funny, once you come out, like, honestly, now it doesn't feel like a big deal to me, but it was such a big deal. So if you still haven't come out, don't worry. You have time. Just like give yourself a lot of self-care in the meantime.
Yeah, there's no timeline you have to follow. People come out later in life. People come out whenever they're...
Amanda and I have been suggesting come out via cake. Just get a cake that says I'm gay, or like someone said a gender reveal, but instead inside it's a rainbow.
That's funny.
Oh, that was Christine.
Because when we live stream, Ashley was reading all the comments, but she doesn't know the usernames like I did. And that was Christine who suggested that, who runs the Twitter account.
Oh, fun.
Beautiful.
Good job, Christine.
All right. So that was Queer Milestones. So send us fanfic if you want us to read it. And then next time,
let us know what queer milestones you would like to hear from us.
Yeah, we'll kind of do these rotating. Either do our read fanfic about us, or we'll do queer milestones. So just a brief, I'm going to talk about things again. 2 weeks ago, we had Songfinch, who was our sponsor for the episode. And if you guys don't remember, I made that amazing custom song for you guys. So I just want to play another 30 seconds of that just real quick so you guys can enjoy it again and our listeners can hear it again.
So may I now declare my strongest of convictions. There's no one else with whom I'd rather read a cringy fan fiction. And I am the luckiest step aside in all the world. Cause you're more than just my favorite podcast girls. You're the treat to my squirrel. Oh, you're the treat to my squirrel. You're the treat to my squirrel.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for being obsessed with us.
Thanks to Tiffany Topol, who was the artist who made that. And thanks to Songfinch. Honestly, I keep like going on their site and just listening to other personalized songs that people have made for each other. And it's so cool. People make them for like anniversaries, birthdays, aww. Like, I don't know. I feel like it would be a good engagement.
Can you make one just for like a Tuesday or something?
Yeah, you could make one for a Tuesday.
What if we made one for Anne Hathaway and Nicki Cannon?
Oh, we should.
I love that. There's just like a ton of stuff you guys can do. It's such a unique gift. And honestly, I think just like having a song written about yourself is such a special present to have. If you guys want a personalized song at your own, you can get one at songfinch.com. They start at $99 and they're delivered within 7 days. And if you use our promo code, Queer, Q-U-E-E-R, you'll actually get $20 off your own personalized song from scratch.
$20 off?
That's good.
$20 off? It is good.
What a steal.
It's technically more than 20% off. because it is. It's like 21%
off. It is.
Oh,
so yeah. There
so
you go.
So you're welcome.
Go get someone a great ass gift.
Make it write the gayest song for us. Make it the gayest song for us. Not for us, but like just
for whoever it's for.
Make it a super gay song.
Yeah.
So this week we thought we would do a fun theme.
Disney princess theme.
Yeah. Meow, meow, meow.
Woo. Again, we get this request all the time. So we we get this request all the time. So we wanted to make you guys' Disney dreams come true.
You're making my dreams come true.
You finally remembered the song.
Boo-doo.
Amanda, who are you going to pair up? All right,
so I felt like I had to do...
Valley Girl.
I know, you just turned into a different person.
All right, so
I feel like...
Okay, so here's the thing, guys. I have to do Ariel from the Little Mermaid.
You automatically became a drunk girl in the bar.
Yeah, a drunk belly.
Here's the thing. Can I get a vodka but with pineapple?
I have
just
to do
a little because I'm on a diet.
Little Mermaid is a hard
Little Mermaid?
Little Mermaid.
It's hard when you're drunk.
Yeah, what's going on over there?
I haven't even had any of my wine. Little Mermaid is my new rap name. So I watch Little Mermaid every day, according to my mom, every day for a year between the age of 3 and 4.
And that's how I got my rap name, Little Mermaid.
And I think that's where my redhead obsession came from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll do it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that'll really, that childhood sink in.
Yeah, that childhood conditioning.
Yeah.
What's your situation? Where are they? Little Mermaid
so
and
I'm doing
who?
Little Mermaid and I'm doing Ariel and...
This is a mess.
This is such a mess.
I hope you guys are having fun listening to this on your commute or in your office or wherever you are in the library studying.
I'm doing Belle. I'm doing Ariel and Belle because I guess they are a couple that has been put together a lot. They're both smart, right?
Where would we put them? Maybe they're learning.
Well, does Ariel have her legs?
Yeah.
You gotta decide that.
Oh, yeah.
They could be on the.
Jesus.
You've got to decide that.
Is there a gas leak in the house?
You know what? I've been really scared that my air conditioner is poisoning me, so...
What is happening to all of
us? We got through all the important stuff, so now we're just off. Kirsten...
Should decide whether or not she has her legs.
Let's go back.
Is this the first time they're meeting?
Maybe they've met to... Well, one of them sings and one of them reads. Well, they both
have hobbies.
Well, one of them reads and the other one is illiterate.
Wait.
She just has a fin.
Does Ariel read, though?
She can't talk.
Can she talk underwater?
Well, we're going to assume... Oh, okay. Yeah, she does, but we're going to assume that she has her voice back from Ursula. But I also like...
I'm going to do Pocahontas and Nakoma. And if you guys don't remember Nakoma, she was Pocahontas' friend who, like, warned her.
She's in the one... She sounds like this. Pocahontas!
That just sounded like a person saying Pocahontas.
That's how she says it. She says it exactly like that. But Pocahontas! You guys are going
to
get it.
She's her friend who wants the best for Pocahontas and doesn't want her to marry that loser John Smith who's a colonizer.
Or Kokoum. She doesn't want... No, she wants her to marry Kokoum.
I think she might. But she really wants her to marry her.
Basically, fuck John Smith.
Yeah.
So when are you setting yours?
I mean, it's going to be...
Who sings and who reads?
It could be...
What are their
hobbies?
Is that
a top or a bottom? That's another thing.
I don't know.
It should be before John Smith and all them will come to the...
Oh, okay.
Or after John Smith leaves.
But he takes her...
In real life.
In an AU, we could do after, like, all the Native Americans kick them out.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, I like the idea of doing it before John Smith comes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe right before her wedding. Oh, God. What the hell?
Amanda and I just made eye contact and we're like, oh, I didn't mean it like that.
Maybe so we're children
before,
now.
Right before her wedding to Kokoum.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yep. I'll figure it out.
Okay. Maybe I'm doing Elsa from Frozen and Meg from Hercules, and I'm so excited.
Meg is such a babe.
We all realized that we loved Meg at the same time when she's like, see you later, hunk.
The voice actress follows me on Twitter.
What?
Yeah, Susan Egan. She was also...
Hopefully she listens to this.
Hopefully she does. Not. Hercules was my favorite. It was
I love Hercules.
Except for fuck James Woods. But other than that, it's my favorite.
Yeah. That's my soul.
Meg is a babe,
Meg is a babe.
When should they... But I feel like, I don't know... It's going to be like Pride and Prejudice up in this bitch because they're going to hate each other at the beginning. Yeah,
because yours is a little bit easier because it's from the same story. Yeah. So ours is like a little more difficult because we have to like manufacture.
Well, you have two nice people and I have two mean people. Or like two.
Amanda also has the advantage of having two people's hobbies.
Elsa's not mean.
Not She's mean. I mean, they're just like both tops, you know.
They are both tops.
So that's that's the dynamic.
All right. Type 15.
Type 15. We'll be back.
Wait, what's my situation?
We'll figure it out.
Welcome back.
We're here.
I guess we're... Am I welcoming us back? You guys have been here.
Yeah, you guys have been here. We are being welcomed back. We are the ones who left.
Who wants to go first? I can go first.
Okay.
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 You go.
So, to remind everyone, I did Pocahontas and Nakoma fanfic, and I set mine before John Smith steals their land.
Truth.
I don't have a name for it yet, but if you guys think of a good name, let me know. Pocahontas stood on the edge of the rock, staring down at the water below her. She took a deep breath. She usually loved jumping off this rock into the refreshing water below. The swimming hole was her solace, one of the places she could let go and feel like herself. But something about today stopped her from jumping carefree into the water and enjoying the day. Today, she felt off. Pocahontas was thinking too much. In fact, since her father had broached the topic of a potential marriage to Kokum last night, she hadn't been able to turn her brain off. Miko, Pocahontas' trusty raccoon sidekick, scurried up behind her and looked at her quizzically. He wasn't used to seeing her scared of heights. What was going on? Pocahontas was about to turn back and ask Grandmother Willow for advice and swim another day when she heard a voice from below. You scared or something? When she looked down into the water, she saw Nakoma, her sweet, loyal friend, smiling back at her. Pocahontas smiled, and without thinking, she dove into the water. The cool water rushed over her, and excitement bubbled in her stomach. When she came up for air, Nakoma was grinning at her. "I've been watching you contemplate that jump for the last 5 minutes," she teased. Pocahontas scooped some water in her mouth and spit it at her friend. "Jerk," she said, smiling. This was Pocahontas and Nakoma's rapport. They had always been like this with each other, teasing each other, competing with each other, spending nonstop time together. "So, I heard about the marriage," Nakoma said, broaching the topic carefully. Pocahontas rolled her eyes. "I don't want to talk about it." "Do you want to marry?" Before Nakoma could finish her sentence, Pocahontas cut her off. "No, of course not," she said softly. "You know how I feel," she said. Nakoma reached her hand towards Pocahontas underwater, pulling her closer.
What? I was like, oh my god, is she about to finger her?
Wait, are they underwater?
Oh, yeah. Nakoma. They were like half underwater.
Gotcha. Okay.
The truth was that the two hadn't been friends for some time. About 6 months ago, after falling asleep counting shooting stars together, Pocahontas woke up to Nakoma looking at her. While Pocahontas' instinct was to tease her friend or call her a creep, the truth was that was the night Nakoma finally looked at Pocahontas the way she had always wanted her to for years. Wow. Without a word exchanged that night, Pocahontas leaned towards Nakoma and kissed her. Since then, they had been sneaking around, meeting in their favorite spots, and exchanging stolen kisses when they could. There was a spark between them that Pocahontas didn't believe could exist between two people outside of fairy tales. "Let's go somewhere," Nakoma said softly. "What do you mean?" Pocahontas said. "I don't know. We could go east or west or north or south. Hell, I don't care. Anywhere with you will feel like home," she said. Pocahontas smiled at her. She knew leaving her tribe wasn't something she was ready to do. These were her people, her family, and they were Nakoma's too. Pocahontas pulled Nakoma closer to her underwater and kissed her. They're above water. They're just like underwater. Sorry, that's confusing. "Someday," she said, "I promise. I'm just not ready to jump just yet," Pocahontas whispered.
What the fuck?
It came full circle.
That was great.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Wow. Five out of
five.
Five Totinos.
Six out of five Totinos.
Yeah, that was great. It was that was like a different tone, I feel like. It was it was very sincere.
I really like I channeled my younger crushes when I was writing that.
That was so cute. Yeah, it did feel like that. It felt like summer love or something like that. I thought of a name, but I didn't want to ruin the tone we were going. Pocahontas.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Is that offensive?
Is it?
Is it?
I don't think so. It's just a pun on her name.
I think it's just a pun, yeah.
Okay.
What's offensive is colonizing Native American lands.
Yeah, what's offensive is stealing
and not giving them their reparations.
You're right.
Truth tellers.
Yeah. So that was mine.
Cool.
Wow, that was
I got
great.
Really into it out there.
Yeah, yeah. I can. Yeah. Out Kristen there. Says I'm, out there because she writes in a different room from
she
us.
She refuses to. She just yells at us every once in a while.
I like to have my creative space.
Well, clearly you're creating an atmosphere out there.
Thank you. There was a candle lit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was.
You want me to go or you want to go to me?
Let me go. Because I don't think mine is that great. So let's
or
sandwich
should we
it.
Let it go?
No, I'm that's not mine. Doing. Yeah, that's oh. hers.
Good try.
Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. I don't have a name for mine either. It's just Ariel and Belle.
It's called singing and reading.
It's called hobbies.
It's just called hobbies. It's called...
Literacy is hot.
It's called Eat, Swim, Love. Little town, such a quiet beach village. Belle thought...
Classic Amanda.
Belle thought as she wandered through a seaside town. She had always been anxious to travel away from France. She had read in books the wonders of the world and had never seen the ocean, but it was finally happening. She had saved up enough from working as a librarian, and even though that strange man in the castle offered to pay her to keep him company, she never felt comfortable going up there alone. She stuck to her guns and scraped together enough for a solo trip to the beaches of Spain. She was going to eat, pray, love her way through Europe. She sprinted towards the water, eager to stick her toes in on such a hot day. Once her foot hit the ocean, she let out a deep and happy sigh. She kicked around the water as she walked to the beach, humming to herself. She was having the time of her life. Nothing could possibly make this better. She stopped humming to examine a shell in the sand when she heard someone sing back at her. Belle perked up. What a lovely voice, she thought.
So the singing and the reading.
Yep. Belle sang a little more, and the voice responded. Belle wandered towards the rocks. She hoped it wasn't a siren. She had read that they would lure men in with their voices and beauty and then kill them. But she was a woman. She wouldn't be as easily fooled by beauty. As she peered around the large rock, she saw something that made her stop dead in her tracks. It was a beautiful woman. Well, mermaid? Belle hadn't thought they were real, but here this woman was, half fish. Oh, hi there. I just said that like Janet.
Hi there.
Hi there. The woman turned towards Belle. She was just casually brushing her hair with a fork as she turned, sitting in the surf of the beach. Was that you singing? Belle squeaked out, still in shock to be in the presence of this mythical beauty. It was. I love to sing. Ariel said with passion. You're so good. This dialogue is on point. You're so good at it, Belle yelped as she moved closer towards the mermaid. I'm Ariel. Have a seat. The water is so nice today. This it reads like a fucking 12-year-old wrote it. That's what happens. Belle didn't know what to do. She could feel butterflies in her stomach being near Ariel. Belle cautiously sat down. She started to wonder if that absinthe she had the night before had lasting effects.
Fuck.
Belle turned up the night before.
She leaves the beast and she's like, bye, I'm going on
she's
a
like,
Moulin
Rouge to your,
trip through Europe.
I'm not going to your castle, but I am going to get fucking crunk on some absinthe and plan a trip across Europe.
Yeah.
That's what a mermaid in the morning.
That's what happens when you don't have a beast holding you down. I'm Belle. Where are you from, Belle? France. You? The ocean?
France.
Right, that makes sense. Belle laughed. It was a stupid question. Oh, look at these. Ariel touched Belle's legs with a furious curiosity. Belle winces, her breath taken a little. What are these like? Oh, they're good. What's that like? Belle pointed towards Ariel's fin. It's great, although I do envy those land sticks you have sometimes. Yeah, well, the grass is always greener on the other side. What does that mean? Ariel cocked her head with confusion. Just that we want what we can't have. Oh, Ariel conceded. Oh, hold on.
How do you go down on a mermaid?
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
I don't think that's this podcast.
Okay, keep going. I'd be jealous of those land sticks, too.
Where's your vagina? What does that mean? Ariel cocked her head with confusion, just that we want what we can't have. Oh, Ariel conceded, not really fazed by it. Ariel was generally happy most of the time. She was excited to speak to a human. She liked them much better than the mermaid she lived with. I like your hair, Ariel said, running her fingers through Belle's hair. Belle did not know what to do. She's never encountered a woman so affectionate, so unaware of people's boundaries. And your lips are so soft, Ariel said, briefly touching her lip. Ariel was curious about mostly everything. If she wanted to try something, she would generally go for it. Belle did not know this. May I try something? Ariel asked Belle, leaning in close. I just want to see what this would be like. Sure, sure, whatever you'd like. Belle agreed as Ariel pulled Belle in for a kiss. Belle fell back and Ariel continued to kiss her on the sand of the beach. She eventually sat up. Yes, I like that a lot. As do I, Belle sat up. And they fucked. The end.
That's great. Oh, I love it.
I love that.
It's magical itself. I love it. It's like, you're great at singing.
Thank you. Where are you from?
The ocean. That's the best.
That was very funny.
I would give you 5 out of 5 Totinos.
It's fine. You can give me 4.
I give you 4 out of 5, but only because I want the explanation for
how they're
going to fuck.
That's valid.
Which I guess is the sequel.
Yeah.
She has to get magical powers so she can get legs.
She's gonna...
Yeah.
So she can fuck.
I feel like there's a pun with a blowhole and a blowhole.
Oh! God.
It's a blowhole job.
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't either.
Oh, that was great, though. I really liked their dialogue. I liked how Ariel was like a mermaid Janet. Like,
yeah.
I'd like to try this. I think that would be fun. I like these lips.
Yeah, I guess it's been a really... Even though I watched it for 365 days...
You were 3?
When I was 3. I haven't actually seen it in years.
From the ages...
Wait, we gotta do it for Drunk Lesbians.
Oh, yeah. We gotta do a special episode.
Special app.
Yep.
Okay, mine is about Meg and Elsa, and I took a page from Amanda's book, and I made it super self-aware. Or at least set in a place I wouldn't normally. Elsa was looking for the exit. Even though she was technically a Disney princess, she was tired of these princess mixers. First, Sleeping Beauty would talk about how hard it was to keep a man. And then, of course, Snow White would toss in her same old tired joke. One man, try keeping 7. Honestly, Elsa only came because Anna wanted to make more female friends. That and the coconut shrimp at the buffet was always pretty good. But tonight wasn't her night. She just wasn't having it. Elsa quickly headed for the door and almost made it when she suddenly felt someone crash into her. Watch where you're going, jerk. She said a stutteringly beautiful.
Wow, that was a great impression.
Thank you. I tried to write all these so I could do her voice. Said a stunningly beautiful brunette, now plucking coconut shrimp from her hair. Wow, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure you ran into me, retorted Elsa defensively. Okay, ice hands, Meg said under her breath. What was that? Elsa quit back. I may be cold, but I'm not deaf. Copy that, Captain, Meg said, once again dripping in sarcasm. Look, I'm sorry I bumped into you, but what's your deal? Actually, you know what? What's your name? Elsa blurted. Name's Meg. The brunette whispered back. Oh, I didn't whisper it. You see different things when you're writing. Hercules' girlfriend, Elsa said before she could stop herself. Not so much, Meg replied while taking a bite of the shrimp now in her hand. He was a little bit of an ego trip, if you know what I mean. Yep, men are terrible. My sister almost got our kingdom stolen from her, Elsa said. And then something came over her, a spontaneous thought, which never really happened to Elsa. Just kidding. Do you want to get out of here? Elsa queried, all of a sudden nervous that the beautiful woman would say no. Sure, Meg said confidently. How about the roof? I hear it's nice at night. The two headed up to the roof and immediately found themselves lost in conversation. Elsa had never met someone like Meg before. All the other princesses were so boring and predictable, but Meg didn't seem to care. She could have stared at her all night. That is, until Meg noticed. Cat got your tongue? Meg replied in her cool voice. No, it's just... Elsa faltered. I know, Meg said. The first times I was rough. And with that, she grabbed Elsa's head and pulled her in for a kiss that nearly knocked them off the side of the roof that they were straddling. Wow, Elsa managed to whisper. Take that, Walt, Meg said at the sky. And they both live happily ever after. The end.
I like the fuck you to Disney.
Yeah. I also was like picturing it like... It was a bachelor convention,
yeah.
Like a Bachelor Nation convention.
I was picturing them just in like a shitty Hyatt,
yeah.
Like in a ballroom.
Like a convention room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I like the... But then in my mind, I was like, I can really hear, like, Meg always spoke with consonants. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
the jerk.
You nailed her voice. Yeah.
But then it was harder to do. And now I got to go back and watch it and see if she did that the whole time throughout the movie.
She didn't do it the whole time, but she did a lot.
Hunk. She's always just kind of like doing that.
5 out of 5.
Thank you.
Yes. 6 out of 5.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Nice.
Meg was
You're generous hard. Tonight. You're not the Simon tonight. I am.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but your Simon is still 5 out of 5 Totinos.
Yeah.
I feel like Elsa needs a girlfriend because Elsa actually is the only one who wasn't paired up with some dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're waiting. So Disney.
I know. Give her a girlfriend, Disney.
Yep.
Wow. Well, what a ride it has been.
This whole podcast has been fucking crazy. The laughs, the love.
The live. Ugh, man.
Are we doing a question or?
Oh, this is such a long episode. I feel like we should not do a question. Sorry, guys. It's already like an
hour. We've already talked about ourselves a lot this episode.
Yeah, we have.
But we will remind you of a couple things. We'll kind of mix it up and we'll do some queer milestones and we'll do fanfic. But if you guys have fanfiction about us, remember that when you email it to girlshiptv@gmail.com to say that it's queer AF fanfic in your subject line or else we might miss it.
Yes.
And also, please keep tweeting at us any pairings or themes that you want, because we've been really into the themes lately.
Themes are great.
Let us know what, it could be a movie franchise, it could be Whoopi. You guys remember we were talking about Whoopi Goldberg? That was at the beginning of this podcast. We could do a Whoopi Goldberg one. But yeah, we can do any kind of theme. So let us know. Tweet at us.
Cool.
And what do we have to say? We have merch. You can find us at and something about if you want to support queer content.
If you guys want a merch, we have merch. Check it out at shopdupspreadshirt.com/girlshiptv. Also, if you want to support queer content, please donate to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/girlshiptv. Mm-hmm. If you want to find me, you can find me online at Awkward Holland on all platforms.
And you can find me on Whoopi Goldberg's IMDb. Because I'm going to go through that bitch's whole history.
And you can find me at Kirsten L. King on Instagram or Kirsten King _ on Twitter. Bye.
Bye.
Whoopi.
Okay.